Welcome to Women in Cybersecurity. I'm Melinda Marks, Senior Analyst here at ESG. I'm so pleased to be here with Aarthi Raman, CEO and founder of Titanium. Aarthi, so great to have you here. Can you tell us about how you got into cybersecurity?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me here, Melinda. It's such a pleasure. I've seen the series and I'm honored to be among such amazing women. My cybersecurity journey started about 12 years ago when I came into the GRC space. I have a background in startups. So my earlier startup from when I was in my 20s, I wanted to go back and work for the same manager. And he happened to be doing a GRC company at the time. GRC stands for Governance, Risk, and Compliance. It's sort of on the side of cybersecurity, not quite hardcore, but it's a great place to learn. So I got in there because, you know, I was a known quantity. I wanted to work with him. And he introduced me to this entire world of, you know, how security is governed by compliance and kind of what are the sorts of things that companies care about. And that's where I found myself being more and more drawn to the hardcore security stuff. You know, I found that all this is nice, the compliance bit, but I really want to get into core security and make an impact. So I looked for ways that I could move from GRC to hardcore security, and I ended up at Symantec. So, you know, it took me a few years to get there, but at Symantec, I joined data center security, so some pretty serious stuff, virtualization, you know, isolating workloads and a lot of the core enterprise security bit. And that's where I got my feet wet in security. And it's been a love affair since then. And that's sort of how the journey's gone for me.
Great. And tell me about your studies and your education.
My bachelor's is in economics and mathematics. And so I have a pretty quantitative background from there. I was one of the youngest to go from an undergrad to a PhD. I realized halfway through my PhD program that I wasn't sure I wanted to teach. So it is something that I did abandon in favor of getting an MBA. But it's an interesting story, and I'm not shy about telling it because it sort of took me from the realm of, you know, the heady academic bits that I enjoyed when I was going to school to this thirst for applying that in the practical world. And so I made this leap in the middle of my PhD program and decided that I wanted to hop over, take all of that math that I'd studied and start applying it into, you know, some commercial applications. It is also the root of my love for security in some ways, because security is such a rich domain. And if you've got any bit of an analytical or mathematics background, you can find those inclinations in your brain really well exercised in the security domain.
Great. And after your education, tell me about your career journey into GRC and then into cybersecurity.
Absolutely. So out of MBA, I learned from my little adventure, you know, hopping over from the PhD, that I was really looking to find myself. And I'm sure a lot of people, you know, end up in this position. Some admit it, some don't. But for me, it was really, really stark. And so I decided to go into consulting. So I thought management consulting was a way that I could get exposure to lots of different industries and companies. So I started at AMS. At the time, it was the Big Five. It's now the Big Four. Out of Fairfax. And that's where I did a number of different consulting projects. I got into CRM, I got into data warehousing, lots of technology focused consulting. And so I did a couple of years there when I decided that that's it. I found my calling. I found some white space and I started my first company. So I have a grand total of 2.5 years of working for other people before I did my first startup, which was in my early 20s. And that's when I took everything I learned at school, everything I learned at my 2 years at AMS, and I founded a company called Liquid Engines with a number of people out of Stanford. And so that company we did for a good 5 years, sold that to Thomson Reuters. And then from there, I took some time off. I have 2 children, 14 and 16. So I took about 5 years off being a mom. And then from there is when I hopped over to GRC because I'd had a natural break in my career. And I thought, okay, this was a nice experience applying all of what I learned into the enterprise resource optimization domain. So let me look at a fresh domain. So I looked at security, I looked at GRC, I looked at my old boss who I'd hired at my initial startup, and then hopped over to a company called Agilliance, which was doing GRC, and then from there to Symantec, and then from there to Titanium, which is what I'm doing these days.
Great. So I love that you have this background of consulting and helping customers Is that something that really helped you want to start your own company and be a CEO?
What consulting did for me is it gave me enough of a change. You know, I could be solving a different problem, you know, every few months. And that was very fulfilling. And I looked and looked for sort of a career path or a profile that would give me that, because different people's brains are wired differently. And for me, I need to exercise, flex different muscles. And then it occurred to me that if I were to do my own project, then it would give me all of that, you know, versatility that I need to flourish. And so I, you know, I knew I wanted to be my own boss, and I started my first company out from there. And that was a real addiction, I must say. You know, lots of lessons learned because it was my first one. But everything from raising money, setting up a business, hiring people, finding success, selling your first customer, getting a multinational to take you seriously, selling your company, all this stuff, right, was just amazing experience. And with so many lessons learned in that first one, I couldn't wait to do it again. But then, of course, I had the little kids and I had to sort of, you know, find another phase in my life where I could do it. So I waited to do it a second time, which is now.
Yep. And tell me a little bit about that process. Like, what are the things that you really focus on in those early stages, like getting to product market fit, working with customers, building the team? What types of things are really important, and how have you worked to, you know, make sure that you're a great leader and building a strong company?
So I have the benefit of having done it before and having learned things. And, you know, I've got a long list of lessons learned. When I was younger, it was very important to me to get the validation. I wanted to make sure I had the most important people, the highest profile advisors, the best investors, you know, and the validation was so important to me as a young person that I went after that at the cost of maybe thinking through, you know, the product market fit. This time around, you know, I have been so clear that the most important thing is to get that market input into the product and value proposition before you even set up an entity. Like, it's less important that you have a company, and it's more important that you're solving a real problem. So this time around, I did that. You know, I started in 2019. I had the math. I did nothing but the math and the patents for all of 2019. 2020, before I did anything much with the business, I recruited two design partners, large enterprise companies that took me with my algorithm and helped me turn to product. So by the time 2020 ended, I had a real product that met a real need for real use cases that was benchmarked in the labs of a large enterprise, completely different profile from my first startup. But this one allowed me to go to market so strong. And then I set up the company around it, right? Which was a completely different way. But I feel really fortunate to have had that benefit when I was younger and able to kind of take the ups and downs.
Yep. And I love that you also just learn from your experience and adjust. Mm-hmm. Those critical thinking skills are so important in leadership and having new companies. So tell us a little bit about Titanium. So what are you guys tackling? What stage are you at? What are your focus areas now?
Absolutely. So one of the white spaces I found when I ran competitive intelligence at Symantec is one of the things I did there. I did enterprise strategy. I ran UX. I also did competitive. So one of the things I found is that information protection is pretty weak. You know, the only thing that we know works is encryption. And the last invention there was 1977. And it turns out that encryption only works when data is not being used. The minute you use it, you know, you're not able to encrypt it. So I thought, I'm going to basically apply everything that I know about math and systems and solutions and cryptography to this problem. Like, can I retain encryption on data even if someone accesses it with credentials? And this is called encryption in use. There's many ways to do it. There's a whole field called homomorphic encryption. Those are not Titanium's algorithms. But what we do is we say, okay, in today's world and moving into the future, data is everything. We have bigger and bigger data. So what Titanium does is it enables big data platforms, large search platforms, to operate on data without decryption. And by doing so, we're able to protect it, even if the bad guys get in with credentials. And around this, we have built a whole platform.
What challenges have you faced either now or at other stages in your career that you can share and how you overcame them for our audience?
Well, thank you. So a couple of challenges I think are customary, but you know, we face them as well. And one of them is, how much product should you build before you go to market? And how do you balance critical knowledge and learning for your company versus critical feature sets that your customers will find useful and pay for. So there's a whole, you know, lean startup, fast fail philosophy where they'll be like, build yourself a little MVP, take it to market and iterate. And I think, you know, sometimes it works, but in my domain, it does not work for two reasons. One, if you go in and have a little product that protects, you know, 0.5% of data in an enterprise, it doesn't move the needle.
Yes.
You're not right. So you really need to have something that protects a lot more for them to pay for it and be useful. The second thing is, in our domain, without certification, you really shouldn't be selling, right? Because you have to assure them that your product is smart. And every time you change a single line of code, you have to recertify. So now you're in this place where you have to build enough product that you can get certified and have that certification last and people can use. So the biggest challenge I found was an internal one where I had to make the call to say, nope, we're going to be that weird company that's going to build a lot of product before we go to market. And so that was, you know, that was a big thing. It means our investors have to get behind it, our employees have to get behind it, and we have to have a long period of time when we're building and we're not selling and we're hoping we get it right. So we think we did because we have a lot of advisors and design partners. But that was one. And the other, I think, is hiring. It is just a crazy, crazy world. It is not the same as it was 20 years ago when I did my startup, where everyone was just enamored to be in startups and you could trade off equity for cash. But today you are fighting with the big boys. You are basically competing against the Apples, the Facebooks, the Googles for these resources. And it's a real challenge. Absolutely. So my answer is to hire, you know, offshore as much as I can, but it's a real challenge.
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting that you bring these points up because people read books about startups and they try to follow what other companies did, but there's never a right exact way or path that everybody should take. You really have to adapt and see what works for your company and for what you're trying to do with customers. Do you have any other advice that you want to share with aspiring company leaders and CEOs? We'd love to see more women in these leadership positions.
I do. In fact, I have a couple of things I talk about pretty regularly. The first one, I think, is to stick to the substance. And I know it sounds a little cliche, but I think that the most strong products and people and organizations are ones that just have a ton of substantive, either intellectual property or process or discipline, but you just have to have a ton of substance in what you do. So I think that, contrary again to popular belief where CEOs and leaders have to be, you know, great presenters, have great personalities, have all this charm, I think substance trumps all of it. So regardless of your style and your background and your education and everything, if you basically stick to the substance, you're going to be a great leader, a lot of charisma, and just very effective. So that's, you know, that's one thing I like to say. And the other is, I think as managers, it's really important to have you know, some tasks of your own. So managers should not be the sum of their employees' goals, right? You have to have your own thing. You have to have something you're really good at. You don't have to know how to do the jobs of everybody that works for you, but you have to have some way that you move the needle on your own. And I think that creates a really healthy leadership cycle where you are respected, not just because you are somebody's manager, but because you are good at, you know, something that moves the needle for the company. And I think between those two, at some point, it doesn't matter if you're a woman or not. I stand firmly for supporting women and girls, but I also think that we have to find our own confidence, and that is going to come from substance and from contributing in a really meaningful way to whatever it is that our companies are doing.
Great. Awesome advice there. And what do you want others to know about cybersecurity and our field?
You know, I think there are two things in this field that set it apart. So the first one is, if our world and our transactions and our economies are becoming more and more virtual, we need people to mind that world. And this is going to be a really critical skill. So I think it's not just a skill for people to survive, but if you're looking for a career, or if you're looking to make a difference in the world, this is a place to be. So that's one. The other thing I think that's amazing is, I think it's very accessible. Like, I think if you have anything to contribute, this community welcomes you with open arms. Like, I have found that It doesn't matter whether you're old or young or what your race is or your gender. None of it matters. If you have an answer to a problem, people are going to welcome you because there are so many important problems to be solved. So I think there's tons of opportunity. Beyond that, it's always good to foster communities, whether it's minorities or women, or things like that, definitely. But I think the community as a whole is a really positive place. My own experience has just been amazing.
Is there any other advice or resources that you'd like to share for the audience?
So I definitely am a member of quite a few female-focused organizations. So Women in Technology, Women in STEM. I'm a member of Forbes. I join all the women's forums there as well. My need to be there is more to offer support, because I want to be there for other people. But I also think they're just great resources. I think we're in an age where women want to be of assistance to other women. And there's many communities that have men and women in these forums that are there to help women. So all of those would be places I recommend. I also always say, whatever it is your specialty is, you must join a forum or some sort of a group there, because learning from our peers is one of the best ways to learn. And it's also very fulfilling for the people that offer mentorship. So those are the places that I hang out.
Great, thanks for sharing. So we'll share those in our accompanying blog post so folks can check out some links to some of your favorite resources. Okay. So thanks so much for joining us, Aarthi, today. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure. I think you all are doing great work, and I hope to see other amazing women on your show as well.
Make sure you follow our series for more great content with more interviews with women in cybersecurity. Thanks for tuning in.